What's up, Podcast Nation? This is Drew, aka Aren't You Funny, for those of you with me here on Twitch. It is twitch.tv/aren'tyoufunny, A-R-E-N-T-U-F-U-N-N-Y. I record these live anytime I get the chance. Typically, I think we're going to be shooting for like Tuesdays, if that works out best, but we'll see how things go. Regardless, this podcast is essentially a stab at trying to get some improvement in your quality of life, whatever those improvements may be. And I essentially I try to talk about mental health hacks and things for you to think about, things for you to consider, some changes you might be able to make in your life, and hopefully have some sort of positive impact. So I am a mental health therapist by day and gamer by night, hence why I broadcast these live on Twitch at night. And I really enjoy it, and I hope that you're enjoying the content as much as I am. So a quick disclaimer before we get started, and this is something that you can expect with every podcast, is that though I am a mental health therapist by day, the intention of this podcast is not for me to become or replace your therapist. So if you already have some things in place, I'm not intended to replace any of that. This is just supposed to be a supplement. This is something that you can do on your own, whether or not you're receiving any kind of help. And also, if you're having serious thoughts about ending your life in any form or fashion, please, please reach out to somebody, your support system, the National Suicide Hotline, or just even Googling your city and state and the word crisis should be able to help you find the local resources that you need. So that's also something that I'd like to put out there up front, because though I do care very much about each and every person that listens to this, I do not intend to be responsible or responsible for any kind of crises that may occur, because I'm not going to be the best help giving. I'm just a guy on the internet or the podcast. So also something to consider with this is sometimes we'll be talking about stuff that's pretty challenging or difficult to consume, just because of the nature of mental health. I mean, sometimes things get ugly and they're really challenging or difficult to hear or endure, but I think sometimes going through that experience can enlighten us or empower us. And so I encourage you to stick through the difficult material, at least giving it a shot. However, if it becomes too much and you're just like, you know what, like this is a little too intense for me, I'm not sure I can handle all of this, then it will not hurt my feelings in the least if you feel the need to skip the episode for whatever reason. Because ultimately, I'm just here for you. I'm here to try and improve your quality of life. So anything I can do to make that happen, I would love to, and I would hate to be a contributor to any more distress in your life. So with that being said, the first thing that I wanted to do with our episode today is I wanted to expand a little bit more on some things that I had talked about last time, because I think there were some things that I left out that are really important to kind of establish a basis for anything else that we might talk about here on the podcast. And again, you know, sometimes it'll be me just doing the talking. Sometimes it'll be me and some guests, or sometimes it may just even be the guest doing most of the talking and me maybe asking some questions here and there. So, sorry, my throat got a little dry there. One of the things that I wanted to make sure that we established up front were all of the things that we talked about before about, like, you know, well, everybody's unique and all of those things. But some things that I left out that I felt kind of silly about were basically the idea of karma. So not karma in the religious sense, but more karma as just kind of a general concept. And more specifically, something that I prescribe to is the idea that what you put out in the universe is what you will get back. And more specifically, things that you look for are things that you're going to end up finding. So what I mean by that is, if you spend a lot of your time putting out a lot of negative energy or doing things that are intentionally harmful to other people or things along those lines, then it's very likely that you will find yourself either consciously or subconsciously around other people that do the same or worse. And it just becomes this cycle of negativity and drama and nonsense, when really it doesn't need to be that way. And I know a lot of people personally that have run into this kind of situation where they're like, well, I don't know why all these negative people are coming at me, or I don't know why I'm being treated or perceived this way. I don't know why all this stuff is going on. And I'm like, well, you know, what are you doing? What, you know, who are you around? What influences do you have in your life? And those kinds of things. And then what I typically end up finding is that they're putting themselves in situations where they're going to encounter a lot of that drama and nonsense. And then it's like, well, you know, if you're putting yourself around that or engaging in that, then how can you expect to avoid it? So just something to consider with that. Hence, you know, which is part of the reason that I'm doing this. You know, I want to put good things out there. I want to try and put positive things out there. And in the hopes of, you know, for partially selfish reasons and partially philanthropic reasons, is I want to be able to provide some sort of positivity for you all, because I feel like there can always be more of that. There's never enough. And the more that I put out positivity, hopefully the more will come back to me. Of course, it's not always an immediate return, and sometimes it's not always in the way that we would like, but positivity is still better than negativity as far as I'm concerned for me personally. Other people may disagree, but that's up to them. That's their values. That's their beliefs. So, but I do want to encourage you to consider that is a thing. And like I said before, specifically, if you go looking for negativity, you're going to find it. And this is actually something that I encountered recently in this past week, where somebody was talking about, like, well, you know, I walk around and I see all of these people that are, you know, yelling at each other, treating each other like dirt, and all these different things. And then I asked them about it, and I kind of challenged that a little bit. And, you know, I encouraged them to consider, well, you know, if they're going out with this expectation or this attitude of, well, this is what's going to happen, then it's likely that that's what they're going to find, because we have kind of like this, what we call a confirmational bias, where a lot of the times, if we have a theory or some sort of idea in mind of things that are going to happen, or things to expect or whatever, then a lot of the times that's what we're going to find. So I think, just again, building on what we had talked about last time in the first episode, of being intentional of your thoughts and your expectations, because a lot of the times, again, you'll find, well, I expected to find negativity, and lo and behold, you know, believe it or not, yeah, I found it. And that's not going to be literal all the time. It's just something that I think it drastically increases the chances of you encountering that. Again, you know, it's not going to literally be all the time, oh, well, that's all I'm going to have. But I think it's a lot more likely you'll find those things. So, just being a little bit more cognizant of that, I think makes a big difference in my life. And I'm, you know, like, I'm a little bit more on the optimistic end of things, but I'm also realistic about it too. I'm not like, oh, well, everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies all the time. Like, that's just, it's not realistic. But I do think that reframing things and really looking at things through different lenses helps, because if we look at it as, you know, the world sucks, and I'm never going to get anything good out of life, and this is just going to be a horrible situation, then that's what you're going to get. Whereas if you decide, okay, well, you know, though life may suck, I'm still going to be able to get something out of this, and I can make this a learning experience. Then I found that instead of me getting frustrated or feeling hopeless or feeling like I'm a victim of circumstance or whatever, I find that I take control back in my hands, and I decide that I'm going to do something with it instead of letting it dictate my life. So just something to consider with that, because I think that sometimes that cuts down on a lot of the extra crap that you have in your life and a lot of the extra baggage. And it really kind of streamlines things and puts you back in the driver's seat. So something else, and a similar but not necessarily related subject is empathy. So empathy, I think, is something that gets overlooked quite a bit, and it's really undervalued. And this is something that's been brought to my mind quite a bit recently, because I listen to the Gary Vee podcast. It's GARYVEE, and it's Gary Vaynerchuk. And so he talks quite a bit about how he, if he's going to have any kind of legacy, he hopes that his legacy can be turning an alpha male trait into or the most widely accepted alpha males, that they embody an empathy because of the incredibly powerful tool that it is. And it is absolutely that. It is an incredibly powerful tool, but only if it's genuine. So if you're faking it, then people are going to know that, and they're going to read right through that and be like, look, dude, I see what you're doing, and that's not cool. But true empathy, so being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and try to understand their perspective of what's going on, will a lot of the times change things. And so an example of this for me personally is like driving. So I'm not a big road rager. I'm not any of that kind of stuff. And a lot of the people that I know aren't necessarily road ragers, but they definitely get upset quickly with things. And I'm like, why? Like, why are you so upset with that? Yeah, it was kind of rude that they did that, but you don't have to let that ruin your day. You have no clue the kind of struggles that they're going through. And I think that that's something that's challenging to do in the moment a lot of the time, especially if we feel like we've been wronged and those sorts of things. But ultimately, I think if we stop for even 5 seconds and try to consider things from their perspective and things that they may be going through, it drastically changes things. And I think that that's something that that would cut down on a lot of hate in the world, actually. Like an example of that. So, you know, the person that cuts you off in traffic, it could very well be that they're on their way to the hospital, or on the way to a funeral, or on their way to whatever, because they've had this horrible thing just happen in their life. So the last thing that they're really concerned about is being the most, considerate driver in the world. And sometimes I bring that point up to people, and you can immediately see like that dawning look of, oh crap, I was just a complete jackass. I'm like, yeah, you know, just something to consider. It could be that they're just being absolutely rude and they have no reason or rhyme to it, and they're just being inconsiderate. But I think the, you know, if we take that 5 seconds and consider the possibility that maybe they're going through something right there and there's a reason that they're engaging in those behaviors, then all of a sudden we see this drastic shift of, okay, well, I don't need to get upset about that because it's not a reflection on me. It's not a reflection on something that I'm doing. It's not a slight to me in any way. It's just that they weren't being incredibly considerate, which again can be very annoying. And again, yeah, I think that this is a topic that we could talk about all day. However, I think that that's just something important to consider when you're engaging with other people, is that empathy can drastically change the quality of your interactions with other people, and it can drastically change, and I think for the better, just your daily life and your distress level, your willingness to kind of slow things down a little bit, decrease in your stress level, all those kinds of things. Like, I think giving that kind of investment can go a long way. So again, just kind of basic building blocks and things to consider for the future. And I think that you'll see a lot of those themes come back up, and I'll specifically apply them to whatever situation we're talking about in the moment, whether it's anxiety, depression, whatever. Could be any and all of those things. So the big topic that I wanted to talk about today, and hopefully you all will find this helpful as well, is burnout. Because I think it's something that gets talked about sometimes, but not as often as it should. And it's almost kind of like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it gets acknowledged, and then we're like, okay, well, yeah, that's a thing, so what? Move on. And I think that really, first of all, being willing to acknowledge that it's a thing is really important. And then also having some truly honest and real discussions about what burnout is, how it looks, and what to do with it is incredibly helpful, because it's especially prominent in helping fields, which I'm in one, for those of you that don't know. I think it's also incredibly prominent in really everywhere, but I think that's where you see it the most, just because of the emotionally taxing nature of the job. So essentially, when I say burnout, what I mean by that, just for those of you that may not have heard the term or may have heard it thrown around, you're like, well, wait, what is that again? So the way that I define burnout for the purpose of this podcast is essentially getting to the point where you have had enough, and every little thing will set you off, and you have all these kinds of what I would call maladaptive, I'm not sure a good way to put it, just kind of like negative reactions, or reactions that you don't want to have to things that normally wouldn't bother you, or you're just kind of feeling spent and done with whatever the situation is. Typically, it's more related to like a job, but it could be other things too. So burnout, specifically for my field, which is mental health therapy, burnout really looks a lot of different ways. One of which is a lot of distance from the people that you care about. A lot of the times you come home and you're just checked out, and it's not just like one day or a couple of days, because everybody has bad days, but we're talking about a pattern here. So we're talking about something where it's been prominent, and it's been something that goes on for more than a couple of days. It's typically, it'd be like more often than not throughout the week. So it looks like a lot of distance from people that you would normally engage with, or a lot of a lack of engagement in things that you would normally do throughout the day, or a lack of enjoyment in those things. And a lot of it, really a lot of it kind of relates to depression, but it's specifically, those are kind of like warning signs for burnout for people. This is something that I've actually experienced a lot recently, just because I've had a lot of changes in my job recently, and I didn't really recognize it until probably last week. And once I realized that that's what was going on, it completely changed the way that I viewed things. So, and I know I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I feel like it's really important to reinforce a lot of these things. So distance from people, lack of enjoyment, those kinds of things. Also some other things that kind of let you know, okay, maybe I'm a little bit burned out, or like taking a lot of sick time from work, or truly finding it difficult to go to your job or your activity, whatever it may be. And not just like I really don't want to go to work. No, like I don't even want to get out of bed because I know that I'm going to have to go do this thing, and I just truly am not feeling it. And again, not just one day or a couple of days, but like, okay, I'm really hating what I'm doing right now, or I'm just going to take a sick day, or a sick week, or a sick month, or whatever, or I'm just going to quit. You know, those kinds of things let you know that maybe you've reached a point where something needs to change and give. And then another thing is just like absence on the job. So finding that your mind is constantly wandering to other things. And I mean, it's normal on a daily basis, especially on jobs that aren't necessarily as mentally taxing or engaging, that yeah, your mind's going to wander. I mean, that's normal. That's part of it. But the fact that you constantly find yourself having to redirect or having to focus back up and say, okay, like I've got to get back into this. I've got to pay more attention. Finding yourself having to do that constantly lets you know that you might be a little bit burned out and that you might be at the point where you need to be considering where your head is and how you can make things a little bit better for yourself. So, again, you know, these are things that tend to fly under the radar. And a lot of the times you don't, you probably won't even notice that you're burned out until you've gotten to the point where you're truly done and you're quitting or you find yourself ready to quit. Then you're like, God, I need to do something because this is just not working. So I think ways to kind of deal with this a little bit could be a lot of things. And again, you know, I'm going to give the stock answer of it's different for everybody and everybody has their own things because it's true. But some common things that I think have been helpful in dealing with this a little bit are trying to make some form of change, because I think change is incredibly important, and it sometimes even the smallest of changes can make the biggest differences in your life. It's kind of like related to the butterfly or the ripple effect, where you make that one small drop in the pond or this one small wave of the wings, and then all of a sudden it causes the tsunami in Japan, or it, you know, it makes the tidal waves that you never saw coming based upon the one small drop and change that you made. So sometimes these changes, and again, I'll be speaking specifically to work, but I think that you can apply this to pretty much anything, is like either making a change in the job. So changing the way that your job goes, changing your hours, changing, asking for like a different role within the job, or maybe some different responsibilities within the job, or some extra training, or some sort of role change, whatever that may be. And again, that's not going to be possible for everybody. For some people, that's just, you know, not going to happen. Sometimes it means taking on less hours and saying, okay, well, maybe I need to take a step back from this and either pick up a different job or reprioritize how I'm spending my hours or whatever. Sometimes that means changing your personal hours. Maybe you're burning the midnight oil too much and it's getting you to the point where you don't want to do anything else because you're so freaking exhausted. So that's something to consider. Maybe a change in your lifestyle. So maybe the way that you're approaching things outside of work is now affecting work, and you've noticed that you just lack investment in the job because of things that are going on outside of work. And then, you know, it's drastically affecting work to the point where you're getting in trouble and you never do that. Or you find yourself, or you find yourself at the point where you're about to get fired because of things that are outside of work and leading to less focus, less productivity, more mistakes, whatever the case may be. And I think another thing is changing your expectations can make a difference. So if you go in, again, you know, kind of going back to the, like getting what you getting out of the thing, what you put into it. So if you go in expecting to have a horrible day at work, it's likely you're going to have a horrible day at work because that's what you expect. And then a lot of the times, because of those expectations, we'll make subconscious decisions that then contribute to that thing becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think sometimes going in and changing our expectations either of the job or of our experience of the job or of what the job should look like, or what we're getting out of the job, or whatever the case may be, really examining those expectations and changing things around a little bit can make a huge difference, because then again, kind of going back to the like the ROI. So if you adjust the percentage of effort or of expectation that you put into something, then it drastically changes what you expect to get out of it. And when that happens, then you see a lot more satisfaction. So those are kind of like some things to consider. And maybe those things are just a band-aid to get you through the crappy situation. But at least that's better than nothing at this point, you know? So I think that's just something to consider. So I think some other things that contribute to burnout are just our work culture in general, because we, and I'm speaking specifically for this, for the US, because the US has a really big emphasis on busy, and busy is almost worn as like a badge of honor. And this idea of like, well, I'm important and I'm busy, which, you know, and very well may be true. And there's nothing wrong with being busy, but I think sometimes that can get taken overboard, and then you find yourself burned out because you are so interested in being busy, or you have made such an effort to fit in with the culture that then you have contributed to kind of like your own downfall and contributed to a massive burnout on your end where it might not have existed had the culture not existed. So I think also kind of keeping that in the back of your mind and that awareness of like, you know, other cultures don't have that. They don't have this huge emphasis on work that we do. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just being cognizant of how you approach that and how you decide to respond and adjust to that culture. So I think, you know, being aware of that then gives you extra tools you can use to respond to that and change your expectations of your reaction. If that makes any sense, hopefully it does. So I think also something else to consider with this in the expectations piece is, and this is something that we talked about in one of my psychology courses in my master's program, was, I can't remember who specifically kind of coined this, but there is essentially like a job satisfaction curve. And in essence, what happens is we as people, typically speaking, go into a job with high levels of happiness because we now have purpose, we're getting paid, we're doing something that we find meaningful or enjoyable or whatever. And so then we'll go into that with high happiness because we've got all of these new opportunities, all these new things going on, whatever the case may be. So then typically, I think it was after either the first month or 2 months, that drastically drops because then we're in the daily swing of things. We're in the daily grind. We have the typical hours that we're working. We have more expectations and responsibilities and all of those different things. And we're past like the typical, the training and the introductory stuff and the stuff that's probably not quite as challenging. So then that job satisfaction drops from, I'm just going to make numbers out of thin air here, but maybe the job satisfaction starts at like a 90 and then it drops to a 70 within the first 1 or 2 months. And then it stays relatively stable depending on things. And then as changes come along, that the satisfaction may dip and whatnot. And yeah, like B said, it's the honeymoon phase in essence. So you're like, okay, well, this is this great new thing. And this is this welcome change in my life that I'm embracing. But ultimately, it's also contributing to, maybe some false expectations if you aren't aware that that's a thing. I didn't necessarily have this as much. I love you too, Kit. So I think that's something to consider because I was aware of this curve when I went into my job, And I find my job incredibly meaningful. I am one of the very few that went into a field that I thoroughly enjoy. And I went into a field that I find meaningful, and I feel like I'm making a contribution to society. And so I went into it knowing that my satisfaction was going to drop off, but I didn't experience a lot of distress because of that. I'm also aware that corporations in general are going to have expectations or guidelines or deadlines or whatever that are uncomfortable. And I'm going to have to do some things that I might not very much enjoy. However, with that, I think because I came in with that expectation, I knew that that was a possibility. And I knew that that might contribute to some discomfort and some lack of satisfaction. So then that helped me manage it. So I think if that's something that you can kind of keep in the back of your mind, you might also have the same or similar experience. And it might not become one of those things that contributes to a lot of dissatisfaction on your end. So just something to consider with all of that. Going back to ways to deal with burnout. So one of the things that I've been very fortunate in my job is that because of the company that I work for, it's provided me a lot of opportunities to engage in a wide array of different job titles, responsibilities, and daily activities that might not be afforded me elsewhere, which is a big part of the reason that I've stayed as long as I have, despite a lot of the changes that have been implemented. And so with that, I think sometimes having that diversity and having that mix up on the daily grind makes a huge difference for me in particular, just because I find that if I stay in the same thing for too long, I get itchy and I get stagnant and I feel like I'm not going anywhere. And I feel like I'm just stuck in this endless loop of just the same stuff over and over again, despite the wide variety, because I mean, I'm in a center that serves pretty much whoever walks through the door. So one day I may be dealing with somebody that, I may be helping somebody that is experiencing significant symptoms like hallucinations. And then another time I may be working with someone that is dealing with a lot of depression. And then another day I may be working with somebody that struggles a lot with ADHD. So I have this wide variety of experience, but I found that if I was doing that same thing over and over, day in and day out, I felt like I was missing out on something and I felt like I wasn't contributing as much as I could be. So then I mixed it up and I researched things and I talked to my support people, in this case, my supervisor, who is a freaking rock star. I mean, she is just so supportive and she has been such a huge contributor to my desire to stay in my current job. So I talked with her. I was like, look, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing, but I also feel like I'm missing out on something and I feel like I need something more. So then she helped me out and we looked together and teaching is another passion of mine, which is part of why I'm doing this, because I enjoy spreading knowledge. I enjoy doing what I can to contribute to the welfare of others. And so with that, I found that I was able to provide trainings and to assist with trainings for other staff in my agency. And actually, I'm now branching out to people that are outside of my agency. And so the opportunity for me was there the whole time, but I didn't know it because I didn't take the time to research it. Had I not done so, I would never have been able to engage in this other role and this other level of responsibility, and I wouldn't have had an opportunity to diversify my skills. But because I did, I'm now doing that. And then on top of that, that's put my name out there, and it's increased my ability to network and find more opportunities should I desire them in the future. So I think sometimes looking at that kind of things may bring you opportunities that you didn't even know existed up until that point. So even just having that conversation and saying like, hey, is there something else I can be doing? Is there another opportunity that I may value? Or is there something that I can do that will touch on some of my other interests that I can combine with my current role? And I think having a lot of that transparency then provides you opportunities that wouldn't have existed previously. So just something to consider with that. I think another thing that makes a huge difference is reaching out to coworkers, because coworkers will have a base level of understanding that nobody else in your support network will. Even people that have worked in your job or worked in your activity previously still won't have the same experience as other people that are doing your job on a daily basis, because there's always changes going into place. There's always new regulations and responsibilities and new expectations and all of those things. And your coworkers are the ones that will understand that the most, because they're going through those changes with you, which then creates a bond between you automatically, because, you know, this specifically won't necessarily apply to this situation, but people that have gone through trauma together already share an automatic bond because they've been through distressing experiences together. And so it's a similar kind of concept with work and with other activities, is that if you go through those together, then you already have a basic understanding that other people, despite the greatest level of empathy, will never be able to understand. And I think one of the most drastic experiences you can consider for this are like our military. So our military, despite our best intentions, will never be able to really show to us and explain to us what they've gone through. And the only people that they really are going to be able to connect with are people that were there with them, because they went through that experience together. And we, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't love and support them, because we absolutely should. And I think that that's something that's, that gets underlooked quite a bit. However, I think it's also something where it's like, nobody else is really ever going to be able to understand quite like the other people that were there. So point being, if you have other people that are doing the same or very similar activity to you in your job or experience or whatever you're applying this to, then going to those people and reaching out to them and talking with them and asking them like if they have similar experiences, if they have similar things that they're dealing with, if they have struggles like you're having, being able to have that kind of conversation with them is invaluable, because they, again, you don't have to go through a lot of explaining. You don't have to go through a lot of like, oh, well, you know, let me explain all of this to you before I can tell you what my struggle is so that you can empathize with me. There's none of that, because you don't need it. You're already there. So I think that's something that's really important to consider when you're in your job or activity or whatever, is that if you reach out to those people, you might find that those people are able to have a real conversation with you and have an impact on what you're doing. So also, I think something important to ask those people is how they deal with what's going on, because everybody deals with things differently. And I, again, you know, obviously I'm a fan of learning things. I'm a fan of learning new things. I'm a fan of education in the sense of like, oh, well, you know, not that you have to go to school, because school's not for everybody, but being able to go to somebody and say like, yo, I could learn something from you, because I feel like any kind of knowledge is going to enhance my life in some form or fashion. So being able to go to those people and just learn from them and ask them how they deal with things may make a big difference for you. And it could be that they're doing something that's absolutely horrible, and you're like, okay, well, I know what I'm not doing. And that, you know, that in itself is valuable, because then at least you can narrow down your options and figure out, okay, well, this is what I know I'm not going to do. And this is something that I know I can avoid, but instead I may find something that's the complete opposite that's helpful for me. So, you know, just something to consider with all of that, because again, you know, they're going through a lot of the same things that you are. So if they can find a way to to cope, and maybe you can do something together. I'm not saying you need to go like form a Kumbaya support group, because that's not for everybody. But what you can do is at least have discussions about those experiences so that maybe you can find something that does actually work for you. So just something to consider with that. So also, I think, again, going back to something that we had talked about in episode one, is knowing your values. So knowing something that is meaningful to you, or something that you value very much. Because essentially, when I'm talking about values, what I'm talking about is like basic themes or things in your life that fuel all of your decision making. So for instance, some of the most common ones for people are like family and work ethic and time and love and passion and contribution to society and all of those different things. So those are all different values, and those fuel every decision that we make on a daily basis. So an example of that, a family is very important to me. And not just my immediate family, but all of the family that I enjoy or find meaningful. So because of that, I'm going to make decisions that are going to directly relate to how they affect my family. And so that's going to be something that I'm going to consider on a daily basis. Well, if I make this decision, how is that going to affect my family? If I decided to quit my job right now, which again, I have no interest in doing, but if I decided to quit my job right now, how is that going to affect my family? If I decide to take this job that's potentially going to be a decrease in pay for me, how is that going to affect my job? Or how's that going to affect my family? If I care what other people think about me, then I will make decisions that directly reflect that. So I might not engage in controversial topics, or I might not engage in conversations or activities that could then have a negative outlook on me in some form or fashion. If I decide that work ethic is a big value for me and something that I find incredibly important, then my actions are going to reflect that. And I may end up taking it to an extreme and becoming a workaholic. So, you know, there are definitely ways for values to become negative experiences, but they also fuel all of our, they fuel all of our decisions on whether that it's a conscious or subconscious level. It happens. So I think being aware of those values and how they might impact you on a daily basis is incredibly important, because then once you understand those, you can work with those and turn those into strengths or things that can make your life easier. So I think that's just something to consider with all of this, is that is if you know those values, you know how you can turn those into strengths, and you know how it can make things easier, how it can make it easier for you to cope with whatever situation comes your way. So sometimes, and again, this is the reason that I'm bringing up values in the first place, is that sometimes your values conflict with what's going on, which then will contribute to more burnout and burnout a lot faster. So if you're involved with a company or activity that directly goes against your values or your core beliefs, then you're going to have a really crappy experience at work or whatever activity you're engaging in, because it's something that you don't agree with on a very basic level and on a very, on the most meaningful level for you. So because of that, you're going to experience a lot less satisfaction and happiness than you might if you're in a position that does align with your beliefs and values. And so then you'll find that you get burned out a lot faster than something where, you know, it does align with your values and beliefs. So, and this can be on a macro or micro level. So it could be that the mission statement for whatever you're doing, or the main goal or idea behind whatever you're doing aligns, but maybe some of the smaller specific things don't align. So maybe you agree with the mission statement of what you're doing, but the execution of that mission statement doesn't sit well with your values or beliefs. So then that can still contribute to burnout, and that's something that you can address. So that's something that you can say, okay, well, is there something that I can do to still align with the mission statement, but change this small thing that's contributing to a lot of distress for me, and then thereby reducing burnout. So just something to consider with all of that. I think another big thing that contributes to burnout is boundaries or lack thereof. So when I say boundaries, I don't mean like physical boundaries, though that is a big thing. I think that, again, it goes back to expectations, and it goes to your willingness on things. So an example, I'll start with a specific example that's personal for me, and then maybe kind of go back to a more general example. So in my job, I started out as a student. And when I started out as a student, I never done this job before. So I had no idea how to handle certain situations because I'd never been in them before. So I didn't put boundaries in place that I should have because I didn't know. So I was using a lot of my personal materials for my job, and I was engaging in a lot of work after hours because I didn't know how much time things would take. I didn't know any of that kind of stuff. So what I ended up deciding to do once I got hired on was to cut a lot of that out and set up new basically like operating procedures for myself. So I made it quite clear that there was no way that I was going to be taking work home with me, because I know that if I do that, it's going to stress me out, and I'm going to end up thinking about a lot of the people that I work with outside of work, and it's going to be something that's out of my control, and that's just going to continue to stress me out even more. And by the time I get to work, I'll be so exhausted from having thought about it the whole time I was home, that I just won't be able to focus or do what I need to do, which then kind of defeats the purpose of me having brought it home in the first place. Another thing to that is that I really value my home life. I really value this separation between work and home. And I know that may seem a little counterintuitive given I'm doing a podcast that directly relates to my job in a sense, but I also view this as a very different thing because it's very general. And so I think kind of setting up those expectations for yourself in your head of saying, okay, well, yes, I may be willing to go here with things, but I'm definitely not going to touch this, which hence why I'm not going to be doing therapy with anybody on this podcast, because I have no desire to do so. What I do desire is to contribute to an overall sense of happiness and satisfaction and peace of mind, hence why it's named that, for each and every one of you, because that matters to me. And I feel like something like this can contribute to that and make that happen, even in the smallest of pieces. So with that being said, I put things in place for me that were boundaries where I decided, okay, well, I'm not going to take work home with me. I'm not going to do notes while I'm at home about the things that I did at work. I'm not going to make phone calls from my personal cell phone, even if I block the number. I'm not going to make personal calls from my cell phone if I can absolutely avoid it, because then that's going to mean things are on my mind. And that then messes with the energy at home, because then I have work interfering with my ability to relax and enjoy myself at home, when really that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to create separation and give myself an opportunity to unwind, because I need that. If I don't get that mental break at home, then I never get an escape, and it's constantly on my mind. And again, I go to work drained. I go to work losing focus. I go to work sloppy. And that's just not me. That's not something that I'm okay with. I want to be sharp. I want to be able to contribute. I want to be able to help people. And so for me to be able to do that, I need to have off time and I need to have downtime, because otherwise I'm going to run myself into the ground and be useless to everybody, including those that I care about most, which are, you know, my family and loved ones. So because I'm aware of that, and I'm aware of that with myself, I put those things in place. That may not be true for everybody. Some people work from home and they make it work and they make it happen. And I salute you. Like, I think that that's a fantastic thing. That's just not something that works for me. I can't do that. It just doesn't work for me. And so again, that's the, well, you know, things are different for everybody. One of the ways that I do that is I am very mindful about my thoughts, and I'm very aware of where my head is when I'm on my way home. So I've taken to listening to podcasts more recently, because I've found, again, I find value in learning things and hearing the perspectives of other people. But music is a huge thing for me. That's one of my coping skills. That's one of my strategies that I put into place on a daily basis. So I'll turn on a podcast or I'll turn on some music and just jam out to it on my way home. And then by the time I get home, I've allowed myself that separation and allowed myself and given myself something else on which I could focus, so that then in turn, I'm not in the work mindset by the time I get home. Instead, I've switched to enjoyment. I've switched to my coping skill. I've switched to something that is meaningful and that contributes to happiness for me. So I do that in a very conscious manner, because I know that I need that. If I don't do that, I don't have that separation from work. I don't have the ability to kind of decompress when I get home. And I spend a lot more time trying to do that, and I get frustrated when it doesn't happen. So again, that's just a personal example for me. For some other people, they love bringing the work home and they love being able to get the opportunity to think about it when they don't have the noise of the office around and all of that stuff. So that may work for you, it may not, but that's something that I've had to do. However, I make all of this sound really easy now, but I've had years of practice in doing this, and I've had years to look at myself and try things out and say, okay, well, this is working for me. This isn't. Why isn't it working? What's going on? Is there a way that I can make small changes to this or big changes to this that will make it functional or effective for me? And I think that that process and that learning experience is what will be the most telling thing for you. And that'll be the thing that'll say, okay, well, this will make things easier for me, and this will allow me to handle or deal with things a lot more effectively, because I know that I need this. I know that I need to have this time in my life. I think another thing is giving yourself permission to be imperfect is a really important thing, because a lot of the times what we'll find is we feel this need to be on at all times, or have this thing where we're like, okay, well, I know that I need to be strong, or I know that I need to do this specific thing because that's what's expected of me. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to put these steps in place, or I'm going to do these things to appear as perfect as possible, or appear as strong as possible, because then nobody can touch me. And nothing's further from the truth. And so a lot of the times, giving ourselves permission to be imperfect then allows us to be vulnerable. And instead of that contributing to weakness, that actually does the exact opposite and contributes to strength, because then you're able to turn your weaknesses into functional strengths and into things that you can use to combat a lot of those weaknesses or a lot of those undesirable things about ourselves. So yeah, unfortunately, we're not all perfect, B. I hate to break it to you. But I think that's one of the things that's really hard to do. And again, that's where I'm coming from, the idea of, okay, well, we need to be able to say to ourselves, like, what am I really about? What's really meaningful for me? What's going to truly make a difference for me? And what are some of those imperfections? What are some of those things that I don't like about myself? And is there a way that I can get around those or turn those into strengths? Because when you have those genuine conversations with yourself, you're able to then implement changes to get around those. But yeah, again, we're not perfect. And so because we're not perfect, sometimes we're going to slip up on this stuff. Sometimes we're going to have moments where we're like, okay, I'm not able to let this thing go, or I'm not able to put this boundary in place. And that's okay. I've struggled with this for a really long time. There are still times where I bring work home with me, and it's out of necessity. But I also know that I need to do that. And when something's on your mind, it's there for a reason. So I think being aware of that and giving yourself the opportunity to experience that and process that then lets us move on. Because one of the things that I talk about a lot with the people that I work with are, is this, and I can't remember where it was specifically. I think it was a movie that talks about, like, if I'm sitting here talking to you about pink elephants and their pink trunks and their pink ears and how big and awesome and pink they are, and then I tell you to stop thinking about pink elephants, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the pink elephants, because that's, in essence, when you're actively not thinking about something, you're still thinking about it. Whereas if you give yourself some form of distraction or some other thing that's meaningful to you, then you find that you're able to, it may still be in the back of your mind a little bit, but you're able to focus on something else instead. And instead of trying to actively ignore what's going on, you've shifted your focus. So I think sometimes giving yourself permission to look at that thing that's really sticking in the back of your mind and really bothering you, and then moving on to something else, is incredibly important. Because again, I think I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason. So if something is on your mind, it's probably for a good reason. And it means that you still have something on your end of things that you need to take care of. That's not going to go away. It'll constantly be there in the back of your mind. And there's a lot of people that talk about this with diets as well. Like, well, if it's on your mind that you need to go get a cheeseburger, then you go get the freaking cheeseburger. Just don't go nuts with it. Like, go do what you need to do, and because it's not going anywhere. And a lot of the times what you'll end up doing is eating replacement foods to get rid of that burger, but then end up going and getting the burger anyway. So then not only have you gotten the burger, but you've doubled down on your food intake, which has completely destroyed your diet, as opposed to just saying, okay, well, I'm going to have half a burger, and then I'm going to get back on track and do what I need to do. So again, I'm not a health professional. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not any of those kinds of things. But somebody I'd heard talk about that made sense to me, because I'm like, okay, well, if something's there, it's there for a reason, and we need to address it. And then we can give ourselves permissions to move on and go do something else that's going to be more valuable and more meaningful for us. And we'll be a lot more at peace with ourselves because we've given ourselves the opportunity to do that and handle it. And I think the other piece to it is then you've come through diversity. So you've encountered a situation that you didn't particularly enjoy, or encountered something that you didn't like about yourself, and you were able to work through it even in that moment and say then, okay, well, I was able to make it through that. And there's nothing more meaningful to me than being able to encounter diversity and make it through it, especially if it's on my own, because that's the amount of strength it takes to really, really look at yourself and then work on those changes and make those changes happen is immeasurable, and it's invaluable. So giving yourself that opportunity will, I think, drastically improve the quality of your life. So the worst case scenario is maybe you don't make it through it, but then that means that you reach out to people that can help,
and that's your support people. If you have professional assistance, then it's your professional people. Whoever the case may be, you reach out to them and they help you through the process, but you're still doing the work. You're still going through the journey. You're still making the changes happen. You're just getting a little bit of a crutch, and then you can kick the
crutch's ass and make it go away, because then you're doing the thing on your own. So again, you know, I think that's something to consider. So with the boundaries, kind of circling back a little bit, with the boundaries, things to consider with your boundaries are, what are things that you're willing to risk? So, and what are things that are deal breakers, are acceptable, but maybe uncomfortable. So, again, you know, my deal breaker in my situation was, okay, I cannot do work at home, because that's going to mess with my feng shui at home, and I'm not cool with that. Like, I'm not trying to have that negative energy in my house. I need that my house is my safe place, so I need to keep that safe. If I sully that with negative energy and stress and all of those things from outside sources, then that's just going to make things worse, and I'm not trying to have that. So that was one of my deal breakers. Another deal breaker was that I have to work a bunch of extra hours, or that I have all these ridiculous expectations or whatever, or there's no flexibility. So that was going to be a deal breaker for me, because I have values that don't allow that. So, you know, I think that was something. Also, anything that would have made me compromise any of my values would have been a deal breaker. I would have said, nope, you know, sorry, I can't do this. I'm done. And that would have been that, and I would have found something else that does. Thankfully, I never had to worry about any of that, and I was able to put things in place for myself, where I could make that happen. But really being able to look at things that are the deal breakers, and then things that are maybe not the most desirable, but are acceptable. And then you can put those boundaries in place. And the boundaries don't have to stay rigid the whole time. As you mature and grow in your job, or your activity, sometimes those deal breakers or those things that are acceptable but uncomfortable will change, because we're constantly in states of change as human beings. Every day that we live, we are making changes, because there's an infinite amount of possibilities of things that you'll encounter on a daily basis within your own home, much less stepping outside of your home or stepping outside of the place that you live. So, and a lot of the times that doesn't even have to be physically, that can be digitally. So the fact that you listen to this podcast has forever changed the trajectory of your life in that form or fashion. And then it's opened up a wide array of opportunities that you wouldn't have gotten elsewhere. So the fact that you've even taken this step has changed things for you. Now, whether or not that's a good or bad change, I don't know. That's up to you to find out. However, it is a change. And so with those vast amount of changes, it's reasonable to expect that you may have this boundary or this expectation or this this thing that you put in place, and then that tweak or change. Again, it doesn't have to be a huge change. It can be a really small change. It could be, okay, well, maybe, and that actually happened for me. So I made some phone calls from home recently because I called in sick, and there was nobody else that could do it, so I did it. But I didn't mind doing it, because I knew that once I was done doing that, I would be able to have my peace of mind, and I would be able to say, okay, well, I've done my end and I've taken care of my responsibilities. Now I can go on and leave all of that behind me, and I'm fine. So again, the boundaries don't have to be rigid. They can change. But it's about your comfort level that is the most important thing. So, yeah, I think just being able to give yourself permission to do that kind of thing is one of the most meaningful things that you can do for yourself in your life. Because when you limit yourself, and when you say, like, no, that's unacceptable for whatever reason, and I can't do that, and so on and so forth, and you shut yourself off to opportunities or options, then you end up finding that it's just something that creates a lot of extra crap and distress in your life that you don't need. So So if you're able to overcome that and change that, I think you'll find that your quality of life drastically increases. So with all of that being said, chat, I'm going to give you all a minute for feedback and make sure I didn't miss anything, or make sure that there was nothing that you all feel like I should have talked about that I didn't, or something that you wished I would have expanded on, or whatever. But if I don't hear anything from you all, I'm going to start wrapping things up and start doing our ritual outro, if you will. So while I'm waiting for them to respond and make sure that I'm not missing anything, I wanted to let you know that, again, feel free to reach out to me at any time. I'm available on Instagram. I'm available on Twitter. I'm available through email. I'm available through Twitch on the Whispers. Whatever. It doesn't matter to me. You can feel free to reach out to me. So my email, if you prefer that, is aren'tyoufunnytv@gmail.com. So that's aren'tyoufunnytelevision@gmail.com. So it's aren'tyoufunnytv@gmail.com. So you can feel free to email me anything. Again, if you come to me with a crisis and you're like, look, I'm thinking about killing myself and I'm going to do it, then I'll refer you somewhere else that will be able to address your needs more specifically. But if you have questions about the podcast, or you have feedback about the podcast, or you have a story that you want me to share, or whatever, feel free to email it to me, because I would be more than happy to get any feedback that you'd like to give me, good or bad. It doesn't matter to me. If you want to find me on Instagram, then it's aren'tyoufunnytv. If you want to find me on Twitter, then it's @aren'tyoufunny. And again, if you want to find me live and join the podcast live, it's twitch.tv/aren'tyoufunny. aren'tyoufunny. So you can feel free to find me on there. Hit me up with a follow. Create an account. Get in there and chat with me. And feel free to give me feedback or suggestions or questions in the chat while we're rolling. So, yeah. So ultimately, that brings us to an end for today. Thank you so much for coming and listening to me and being an active, engaged participant in this podcast, because ultimately you're the reason that I'm doing this. So I want to be able to make some sort of positive impact in your life in some form or fashion, even if it's the smallest amount and it just gives you something to think about. That is perfect for me, because ultimately I want to be able to make your life better. So I hope that this podcast has given you a chance to get a little peace of mind.